Thanks for listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
What up, Doug Gottlieb Show? Fox Sports Radio. Hope you're having a good day. Doug Gottlieb Show broadcasts to you live from sunny Southern California every single day. I'm not going to make this show vaccine-centric. Just not. I'm not going to argue with you over what I know or I believe to be the right thing for people to do. I'm only going to say that have I been a hypocrite in my life? Of course, right? I've said things and then done things that are counter to what I've said. There's not any question there. In this particular instance, I got my booster shot earlier today, so I may be like keeled over a little bit later on, because last time I got it, like that night, I was not good. But that was fine the next day. I had a little headache or whatever, went away. But I'm now, I guess, triple vaxxed. Is that Jay Stu, is that the appropriate term if I'm triple vaxxed?
Yeah, and I think it's going to be soon. The official term is going to be fully vaxxed, because as of now, what, you're fully vaxxed if you have two shots, but I think they're going to like...
No, not anymore. I don't think you're fully vaxxed anymore. Yeah. It depends upon when you got your second shot, if you get your second shot. I did the J&J the first time just because I didn't want to get too... I just wanted it done. So I did the J&J. And then I know you can mix it, and I may go back for another one. Like, this one doesn't mess me out too much. I may go get a Moderna or whatever. Like, why not? You know? Like, I have friends who have gotten it, and some have been like, not that big deal. Some have been like, this really, really sucks. And, you know, but yes, I am triple, fully, whatever, vaxxed. And it kind of did hit home because, you know, there are places that where I live, every place in California is different, where the boys live, where we work, and then where I live, there are three different counties, and every county has their own thing. But, you know, like, I was... You know, you're in Las Vegas, and obviously it's different than L.A. It's different than Orange County. But I got a couple trips coming up, and like I'm going to Boise tomorrow to do Boise State, St. Louis. And sometimes to have a restaurant, you have to get your vax card. And my vax card was from what was month four? April? Yeah, so it was from the April. So I don't know if I think my had expired. I don't know. So now I'm good anyway. Ramos, are you? I know you're fully vaccinated, right? You got the third.
I did it with you. I didn't do it with you, but I did what you did. I got the Johnson & Johnson in April of this year, and then Saturday I got my Moderna. I got a Moderna booster shot.
You're a mix and match one. Buyer,
mix and match. Yeah.
Buyer, where are you? I know you have the little baby at home, and this is you know that's been.
Yeah, got the booster last month.
Buyer.
Yeah.
How was your reaction to the booster as opposed to the original shot?
Somewhat similar. I did feel a few of the side effects from the booster about a day. A little sluggish. That was my issue. Maybe a few aches and pains, but it went away pretty quickly.
Okay. Anyway, listen, I mean, again, I'm not going to sit here and tell you what you should do. I'm only going to tell you what we're doing. And however you want to make it work in your brain, for work, for your grandma, for your family, for everybody else on earth, or maybe it's just like, hey, I really want to get a haircut and I can't get a haircut in my face. Like whatever makes you go do it, just go do it. That would be my encouraging words. All right, enough of that. Let's get to this. Baker Mayfield is not playing good football. And it's one thing to be a guy who doesn't have elite talent, but elite leadership skills and elite football brain and go like, you know, but here's what happens. A lot like the fear for Lamar Jackson and you know, I caught heat earlier this year when people are like, oh, he's a great quarterback. Like, he's not a great thrower of the football. It's just good enough to hold it together for when he runs the football and you just hold your breath because you don't know if anybody can actually tackle him, right? And so yesterday, his poor throwing performance is not a stunner to me. Disappointing. He's going to be better than that, but he's not. It's not what he does best. But again, the point about Lamar is the fear you have with Lamar Jackson is at some point in his career, he's either going to get hurt or he's going to get hit so much it slows him down. And if it slows you down a half step, well, that dramatically changes how he plays football, right? Because in order for everything to work for Lamar, he's got to have his legs, because he's the most ridiculously, spectacularly talented athlete playing quarterback with his legs. And I'm not saying he can't throw. It's just not what he does best, right? He's just clearly, you know, he's not, that's not what he does best. But the fear is at some point in time, he'll lose a half step either from getting hurt or just getting hit or just the attrition of playing the NFL. And now all of a sudden he becomes not just a guy, but it completely changes how you play him. Well, Baker is dissimilar and similar, right? Obviously not the athlete of Lamar. I don't think he has the arm of Lamar Jackson either. I do think he's probably a better, more accurate thrower of the football. But that's probably where it ends. The point is, though, for Baker, because he's limited athletically, because he has a good, not great arm, everything has to go right for him in order to be at his best. Whereas, like, Aaron Rodgers, I put Kyler Murray in this category. I would put Pat Mahomes in this category. Like, those guys, like, obviously, Pat couldn't win a championship last year with no offensive line. But he was able to get to a Super Bowl with a depleted offensive line. He's able to win a bunch of games this year without a running game. Like, it doesn't have to go perfect for Pat Mahomes to be Pat Mahomes, or some version of Pat Mahomes, or a lesser version of Pat Mahomes is still a great quarterback. Same thing with Aaron Rodgers. Same thing with Kyler Murray. Hey, same thing with Russell Wilson. Like, you still believe that, you know, you could stop the running or whatever, but the man, they can still beat you with their arm. They still can find a way. Baker is, because the talent is a massive step below those guys, and now he's injured, and their offense, honestly, is more predicated on the run, and people are loading up and making him throw the ball and confusing him a little bit and putting him under duress. All of that stuff has come to roost. But the biggest thing is, if he's not right, he actually shouldn't be playing, because he's not good enough to play through that. But now, if you take him out, like a couple weeks ago when he was really banged up, they would just sat him down for a couple weeks ago, like, look, man, we're just going to get you fully healthy before we put you back out there. But now, because he's been performing so poorly, if you take him out, you put Case Keenum in, you're telling the whole world he stinks and we're just trying to stop the bleeding. Here's Baker Mayfield on the offense against Baltimore.
We just need to make more plays. I mean, as simple as that sounds, I mean, there's plays there to be made. Certain situations where we need to have answers for the zero pressure stuff. I mean, they did a good job today of, you know, when they showed zero pressure and bailing out, and then when they weren't showing it, they brought it. So, I mean, they did a really good job today. We just need to make more plays. And, yeah, I mean, we need to have a little bit more confidence. Need to go back, regroup, and just trust that we have the guys to make those plays.
Stug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Here's Kevin Stefanski talking about the possibility of quarterback change.
Is a quarterback change at all a possibility?
No. Let me ask you a question. Why would we do that?
Well, the points, you know, just aren't there.
Yeah, it's not. That's, we're not doing that.
Here's Lamar Jackson on his poor performance.
Watch film and critique myself like I always do. I'm hot, dude. I threw 4 interceptions, 3 first half. I feel like those drives, when the interceptions came, we could have did something on those drives. We could have put points on the board. And I just told my team, like, that's me. I owe y'all.
Well, look, which is the best way to say it. And obviously, Lamar having won the game, he can still kind of smile. Whereas Baker, they lost the game, and he can have a frowny face. I mean, one team has Justin Tucker, the other one doesn't. That's a big thing. It's not that the Browns kicker's bad, but I here's what Kevin Stefanski gets. You can't sit him. I don't care what anybody's dad puts on Facebook. I don't care what anybody thinks. You cannot take him out, because what it does is it kills his ability to lead. If you don't know who the quarterback is, you don't know where your leadership comes from, and you become a rudderless ship. Kevin Stefanski is absolutely positively right. You got to stick by your guy. You got to ride or die with that guy. At the end of the year, if you want to make it, you know, you want to change things and move on from him, that's different. I mean, look, Stefanski was brought in there to change the culture and to support Baker Mayfield. That's your job, and you can't bail on him now. You just can't. You got to ride it out. Because the second that you do, the second that you show any sort of hesitation, all those guys in the locker room know it's over. It's over. That was the big thing last year with Tua Tagovailoa. He was only a rookie, and it made total sense in the football sense of like, hey, let's have the rookie, and then we'll bring the veteran in when we want to win a game and maybe get to the playoffs. And they won 10 games, and it worked. But you can't do it now. That's why they had to get rid of Fitz. Because it cuts at the leadership of your quarterback. It doesn't mean that Tua is going to work. It doesn't mean that Baker is going to work. But the only chance of it working is if you have complete and total outward confidence in them. And the second you show a lack of confidence or bull them or think about pulling them, that's when it's over. That's when it's over.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. It's been like no snow anywhere, right? Except for at that Michigan game. No, I'm serious. Like,
no, but I mean, she's singing a song about the snow, and then you're like, there hasn't been any snow.
Well, no, but there hasn't been any snow. Like, I look nationally at like the weather map. And I think there's going to be snow this week, but there just hasn't been.
There was some in the Patriots game yesterday, right? There was some snow was coming down during the Patriots game.
Yeah, and I think it's going to snow in Buffalo today. But, like, Denver's had no snow. Denver, it's 72 degrees today. Oklahoma City, 72 degrees today, warm. Minneapolis, 50 degrees today, right? They're out in their bikini tops in Minneapolis. 66 in Kansas City. 39 in Boston. So wherever you're listening to us, I know in Miami it's like 74, it's 79 today in Los Angeles. I mean, look, I know it's nice in Oklahoma, but I just like imagine you're Lincoln Riley and you're like, I don't know, like get on a plane. All right, I'm going to do it. You got $100 million offer in your back pocket and you open up that and you're like, wait, okay, I'm in LA. It's nice every day. It's legit nice every day. We got a lot to get to here on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. I thought this story was interesting and worthy of discussion. Orlando Scandrick's going to join us in a moment. We'll ask him. Of course, he played for a long time with the Cowboys. Mike McCarthy is going to miss their game because of COVID. Eight people tested positive. More and more names rolling out in with the Cowboys. What's interesting about the Cowboys thing is all of this talk has overshadowed the fact that the Cowboys were terrible on Thanksgiving. Do you guys even remember how long? That game seems like 5 weeks ago. I mean, if you're going to lose and look terrible, that's, I guess, the game to do so, even though it was the most watched Fox game like ever. Like 38 million people watched it. But we all forgot about it because Saturday was so good. Sunday was solid. And then the Lincoln Riley news. But you know, Mike McCarthy missing it. Wow. Do you guys see Mac Jones' most yards per attempt in the NFL over the last month? Everybody thinks dink and dunk. Apparently not. It's not so much so. All right, we'll ask Scan Orlando. Is it tacticians or technicians with how you want to be?
Technicians.
All right, good. Technicians with it. Look, we're like, it was only Thursday and this is a Monday, but it does feel like forever ago that the Cowboys were bad against a depleted Raiders team. What the hell happened to the Cowboys?
Just think they're just going through the little midseason struggles, you know. Football is about ups and downs and, you know, just getting hot. And if you really think about it, here they are. They are 7-4 right now. You know, they're halfway through the season. I think they're in a great spot. You know, they just got to kind of hit the groove back. They're getting healthy and hopefully they get hot at the right time.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. Obviously, you know, you got to get healthy with those two wide receivers. Mike McCarthy's not going to coach this week. He's got COVID. What is that? I mean, I understand he doesn't call the plays on offense, doesn't call the plays on defense. And there's people, myself included, like, I'm not sure it's a bad thing, but is it? At this point in time, when you're struggling, you lost, you know, what, three of your last four, and you're trying to get things right, does it hurt you to not have your head coach for a week?
Obviously, but I think that for the head coach, he's like a true manager of the games and the situations, and I feel like they got some great guys on the staff that'll be able to manage the games in a situation, which is the timeouts, when to you know, fake punt, when to not fake punt, how to kind of manage the game. And I think they'll be fine.
Orlando Scandrick, our guest here on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. What's wrong with the Rams?
I think they're kind of – football is a team sport, not just putting the best collection of guys together. And you know, I thought once Robert Woods went down, that would kind of hamper the offense a little bit. And they had already been hampered by the preseason injuries at the running back position. And now here you go. They had some injuries on the defensive side, playing some different guys at defensive back and trying to work in Von Miller. And you know, I think they're just struggling a little bit.
Yeah. The Browns are too. Obviously, now you got another Brown offensive player's dad, and it wasn't as bad as OBJ's dad, but he's like, look, man, this guy, he's scared to throw the ball. I mean, I think we can all point to it with Baker. He's just not playing. Whether he's good enough or not, he ain't playing good enough. There, no one's arguing that. Okay, so, look, you've been through it. When you were in Dallas, you know, Tony would get hurt all the time, and you guys were always shuffling through. Until they found Dak, they were always shuffling through different backups. Like, you've been through kind of the gamut of quarterback.
Dak was never a backup. He's never been a backup a day in his life. So, you know, they kind of struck gold with that. And if you really want to think about that situation, going into that season, Kellen Moore was actually the backup, and Dak was the number three. And then Tony kind of gets banged up, and then Kellen breaks his ankle in practice, and then – Dak becomes the backup, and he's going to go into the season as the backup. And then Tony, who's coming off of, you know, being banged up a little bit, hurts his back, and Dak kind of goes in. They've been very, very fortunate with Dak to have him, you know, stabilize the quarterbacking position. And, you know, but you've seen what happened last year when they didn't have their quarterback. You know, they went through a gamut of backups. That's just the nature of the NFL. And, you know, that's the reason why these guys are making $40+ million.
Okay, but so you're – let's put you – what you did for years where you're on the defensive side of the ball and you're watching the offensive side, like this dude, he's not healthy or he can't do it. How does that affect a team? Like, how do you keep that team together in the Browns, and that they've had all these injuries, but the guy who's the number one overall pick is just not doing a good enough job. And the coaches, well, they want to keep him there because they believe that there's no leadership if you sit that guy down. What is that like in a defensive meeting room? What is that like from a player's perspective?
Well, obviously, you want to test the tightness of your team and the tightness of your team, and I think it's kind of split right now. And just to address the number one overall draft pick, you know, the number one overall draft pick doesn't mean you're good. It means someone thought you would be good. And, you know, I think, you know, they're the guys that drafted him, they're no longer there. And, you know, now is the fight between ownership and the new front office and also the coaching staff of what do we do now. You kind of don't want to give up on this guy, but I think it's about time that you pull the plug. He doesn't have it. I think he was a one-hit wonder in college, and it's showing. And, you know, they've made every excuse in the world for him, and I think now the excuses are running out.
Yeah, it's gone bad. It's gone bad in a hurry. Jimmy Garoppolo, they drafted his replacement in a Trey Lance. And when he's been healthy, especially of late, now that he's got healthy running backs and he's got a stud tight end back, he looks like a different guy. If you're San Francisco, can you keep Jimmy after this year if he continues playing this well?
Absolutely. They're in a position that they have one quarterback making below average of a top tier quarterback, and then they have another guy on a rookie contract which is making really, really below average. So if you combine those two guys' salary, it's probably a little bit less still than having a top tier quarterback, and they're in a great position. They can always move Garoppolo if they would like to, if they would like to get more assets. But it's more traditional. You know, we've gotten away from having a guy get to learn as Aaron Rodgers did under Brett Favre, and they just throw guys out there and it kind of crushes their confidence. And, you know, you always want to have the competition aspect of the thing. And Cleveland, they have no competition. They have all this talent, and, you know, they're just god-awful.
They are god-awful. They're just – they're not – there's no other way to say it. They're not good. Hey, can you tell me the Patriots, right? Like – I think the defense is very, very good. I think they've done a great job of managing Mac. He actually threw for more yards per attempt than anybody else in the NFL in the month of November. I think the thought is it's all dink and dunk. But are you a buyer to that in the playoffs? Do you think the Patriots, as they're currently comprised, with Mac Jones the rookie, can they win in the playoffs with this style and that guy quarterback?
Yeah, they have a great philosophy. Play defense. They don't turn it over, get turnovers. I would say they're a balanced offense, but a little bit run first. But, I mean, they've allowed Mac Jones to grow. They've allowed him to adjust to the speed of the game. And, you know, they're a really, really well-coached football team, and it's beginning to show. And it's always shown, no matter who's at the quarterback. And they made some tough decisions. They made a tough decision in moving on from Cam Newton and, you know, trusting in Mac Jones. They kind of stayed pat to get the quarterback that they wanted. And they're playing the style of football that they want. I don't think, you know, Baker has switched offensive coordinators a lot. We don't really know what their philosophy is, even though he's best when he's kind of being a game manager. And you're coming to the part in the crossroads in the road where you're going to have to decide, you know, do we want to pay a game manager? What exactly is he, and where are we going forward?
Okay, I'm going to put you in charge of the Seahawks. Okay, I'm going to put you above John Snyder. Okay, so John Snyder's the GM. He's been there for a long time. He got a contract extension, but, like, look, the money there is, if you want to buy a guy out, you buy him out. You got Pete. He's been there forever. Okay, and it does feel like the Pete BS is run a little bit lame, right? And then you got Russell, who's super talented. Some guys roll their eyes, think he's a little bit over the top, but it's hard to find another Russell Wilson. You can trade Russell, okay, but if you get picks in return, there's no guarantee you're going to have an even decent quarterback, even if you draft one, right? You can misevaluate him. You can keep Russell and get rid of your coach. You can keep Russell, get rid of the general manager and the coach. Again, you're in charge of Seattle. We'll see them tonight. Orlando Scandrick, what do you do?
I'm not removing my general manager, who's been great. He's been great since he came there. He's really, really drafted well. He's put some really well teams together. This team's struggling a little bit because Russell was injured, you know, and I think he missed 3 or 4 games and they lost them all. Then, you know, he's come back off those 3 or 4 games and they've lost another game. But I'm going to try and get through this year. I'm going to finish it out, you know, see where we end up and, you know, just kind of sit back and see what we do with Russell Wilson. No one man is bigger than the organization, and I'm not going to allow one player to control an organization.
Yeah, but how do you manage it, right? It's like it's the Deshaun Watson, right? Like if you're going to trade Deshaun Watson for picks, like I might want to get a guy back in return because at least you know, even if the quarterback's not great, at least you know what he can do. Whereas the college guys, it's very, very, very hit or miss.
I'm going to name you some guys. Okay. Russell Wilson.
Yep.
Cam Chancellor. Richard Sherman. Bobby Wagner. They were all drafted by John Snyder. All probably going to the National Football Hall of Fame one day. Yep. I'm not going to allow one guy to dictate what's going on.
No, it's a great point, one that I generally agree with. I'm just asking you, having actually lived it and played it.
I won't. Seattle was winning Super Bowls, they were a defensive team. They were a run-first team. Russell Wilson was coming along. They did a great job at finding Russell Wilson in the third round, which speaks even more volume to my general manager. Pete Carroll is one of the best coaches in football. He's one of the best motivators in football. Also a guy that if he's coexisting with my general manager, I'm going to keep him.
What's your level of buy-in to the Chiefs?
They're fine. One of the best head coaches to ever coach football. Patrick Mahomes just going through a rough stretch. The NFL, there's always ups and downs. Hopefully you'll have way more ups and downs, and they'll be fine.
How do you do that? Like, again, like with baseball, I ask baseball players about this all the time, right? Baseball players, the game of failure. You know, you don't get on base 6 out of 10 times. You don't get a hit 7 out of 10 times. And so baseball players, you have to process failure. You played a position where if you fail once in a game, like once, people make it act like you were terrible. Like you could like, look, I had him on lock the entire time. And one time, you know, I looked in the backfield. One time I planted the wrong step or I had the wrong leverage or whatever. How do you, when it's a Monday, how were you able to process that and stay confident considering the margin for error is so slight at your position?
The margin for error is really not slight. First thing, it's about mental toughness. Second thing is I never woke up on Monday worrying about what someone else said. You can only control what you can control, and you try to block all the noise outside of the room, like all the noise. You try to block it out, everything from outside of the building. And I learned this from Jason Garrett, who was a phenomenal man, phenomenal motivator. He put things into perspective, and he was great at pressing the buttons to motivate you and challenge you. And, you know, baseball, you hit the ball 3 out of 10 times, 300 hitter. You're probably one of the best hitters in the league. You're an all-star. Football, 9 out of 10 for defensive back. If you mess up one time, everybody's probably going to remember it. But that one play is not going to cost you the game in a 60 or 70 play game. And once you allow yourself to not know that, once you allow yourself to know that, you look at things totally different.
There's been a lot of people critical of Jason. Obviously, he lost his job last week. Like you said, you played for him. It's pretty solid what you just said about him as a man and as a leader. But as a coach, do you think his X and O's leave a lot to be desired?
I mean, the league is changing, but look at the Giants. They still scored 13 points. They still stink on offense. Jason's never drawn up a play where Danny Dimes drops back and throws it to a defensive lineman. So, but you know, that's what coaching is about. Someone's got to blame somebody. So Judge took it upon himself to remove his offensive coordinator. You know, their offense still sucks. But it's okay because soon will be the day where someone's going to take it upon themselves to remove him. I just don't think he's a good football coach. All those people that come from New England adopt the Bill Belichick mentality, and they're not Bill Belichick, and it's hard for them to succeed.
No, it really is. And that thing is so kind of institutionally wired that they all think they want to carry themselves like Bill. They want to be like Bill. Like, there's only one Bill. It's really similar in basketball to the Coach K thing, right? Like, I mean, a lot of those guys, at least in their first job, they fail because it works at Duke. Why doesn't it work out everywhere else? And it hasn't worked everywhere else. It just hasn't. There's a lot of really similarities there.
Yeah, I mean, that's just what it is. I mean, I remember Dave Campbell told me before, he said, he was coaching me and he was saying, you know, don't ever worry about me because in this league there's two type of coaches, one that's going to get fired and one that's been fired. And he said, you know, it's just inevitable. It's just the business we live in.
Hey, dude, great stuff. I love the pod. Love having you on. Love the honesty. Really appreciate you joining us.
No problem. Thank you guys for having me on. Enjoy your Monday.
All right, that's Orlando Scandrick, who is a stud defensive back, now a great podcaster. Let's get breaking news. What do you got, Dan? I think I know what it is.
Breaking news from Fox Sports.
A report dug from ESPN says that the Texas Rangers and Corey Seager have agreed to terms on a 10-year deal that will pay the shortstop $325 million. So Corey Seager off the free agent market on his way to Arlington to become a member of the Texas Rangers.
Okay, I got a report for you. Did you see this one? Thank you. That's great stuff. Did you see this Lincoln Riley USC contract? Okay. And this is from Robert Hefner.
I don't know who the guy is, but yeah, this is Robert Hefner. Do you know who Robert Hefner is?
I do not.
Yeah, either do I. So I didn't want to.
So we're not going to go with it?
Well, no, you can. It's your show. You could do it, but this is where we end the news portion of it and go back to the Doug Gottlieb show.
Yeah. Okay, so do you believe these numbers, okay? 110 million. We don't know how many years, so that's why that one doesn't. Right, but I would guess 10 years, 110 million. USC buying both his homes in Norman for 500 over asking, right, and buying him a $6 million home in LA for him, unlimited use of the private jet for family. I would guess this. I would guess that they're not buying him a $6 million home. They will give him an interest-free loan, which is kind of the same thing, but a little bit different. I'll explain how that works. And I don't think they're going to. I don't know. They could buy his house in Norman, or they could just say, hey, we're going to cover all the real estate fees, whatever. Like, you make your own money. I'd also think that there's no asking price for it because it hasn't been listed yet. So that part of the story, that's where I feel like this is not a reporter who has. He's not a reporter. It's just a guy who probably knows somebody who knows a guy who heard these numbers and heard these things. One of the things about USC that they're able to do is, as a private school, is some of these kind of clever contracts that you can't do at state institutions. At UCLA, you can't give interest-free loans to assistant football coaches or head coaches. You have to, and at UCLA, like, so let me give you the perspective on it, okay? If I were to tell you that an assistant coach at UCLA makes $350,000. You'd be like, wow, that's a great contract, right? And again, like, even the coordinators make $1 million, but like, say just a defensive line coach can make $350,000. That's huge money, huge in most any other market in the country. In Los Angeles, near where UCLA is located, UCLA is located basically west side of Los Angeles, but it abuts Bel Air. It's that Bel Air. Okay, so to live in that area and to have a 2,000 square foot home, you're paying roughly minimum $1,000 a foot. Okay? So that means to have a 2,000 square foot home, maybe with a pool, maybe without, close to campus, and that's a very small, inexpensive home. You're above that, you're above $2 million. So in order to buy a $2 million house, you got to have 20% down. Ramos, how much is 20% of $2 million?
of $2 million, you said?
Of $2 million, yes.
Oh, $200,000?
That's 10%. 20% is $400,000.
Okay.
So again, if you're coming from an area outside of, you're coming from Eugene, or you're coming from the Midwest, and you're like, hey, we'll bring you out to L.A., we'll pay you $350,000, and you get to be the defensive line coach of UCLA. That's awesome. Okay, now you go house hunting, you're like, what? It's how much? Like, yeah, it's $2 million. You're like, well, I was making $200 at Kansas State, and now I got to make, and I'm up $150, but how do I? Okay, so UCLA is hard. At SC, they simply go like, look, we'll pay $350. Pay $400, we'll pay $500, whatever, and we'll give you an interest-free loan. So for your down payment on your house or for the entire house, we hold the note. Hey, you just pay us, and there's no interest on it. And then when you if you leave and you move, you sell the house, whatever profit you keep. That's why SC is a better job. That's why a private school is a better thing than a public school. That's a real thing. Anyway, more on that to come. Coming up next, we'll get to what the Fox said. You'll love this one.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Is that like your daughter's recital?
We're in here talking about the Seager deal and 10 years and stuff. And then I turn around, I'm like, oh my God, that's right. Christmas music, and the first thing that pops up is Away in the Manger.
Did you guys like my my tweet about his Rangers pay a shortstop big money, history repeats itself?
Oh,
very
that's
good.
That's a good one.
Yeah, very good.
Alex Rodriguez, man.
Yes.
Here's a good one is Oklahoma's president Joe Haraz admits he would have liked more notice. So my tweet was Justin Timberlake saying what goes around comes back around, right? Low karma. Big 12 finds this ironic, right? Because Oklahoma, the issue with them leaving for the SEC isn't that they left for the SEC. It's that they've been in these planning meetings for 6 months, and apparently this deal was done, and they didn't say anything. And just middle of the night, they like, oh yeah, we're out, by the way. So a lot of irony taking place here in the state of Texas, in the state of Oklahoma. Let's find out what the Fox said. Okay, so what we do is every day do we know who actually does this? Do we have a name to this? Because we got rid of all the interns, right, with COVID. We have nameless, faceless people who do really hard work. The rest of us, like me, I do the easy stuff talking to a microphone. They listen to all the shows. They watch all the shows.
The one person that does this entire segment is Jason Stewart.
Jason, you do this?
Yes, yeah, I produce this segment. This is all me. Yep.
Okay, we need to talk because sometimes... Anyway. He listens to every show. He watches every show, maybe longing because he used to work for all those shows. I'm not sure. I mean, we punish him by making him listen and watch. And this is what he comes up with, the best stuff. This is Colin Cowherd on Lincoln Riley to SC.
This was really an easy decision for Lincoln Riley. Okay, look at all the tech that we create in the world. Why do we create all this tech? To make our lives easier. If you want to define yourself, I'm a real man. I work harder. Well, I guess I'm not. I work smarter. Do you want to go through the gauntlet of LSU and Alabama and Georgia and Florida and Auburn? Or do you want to go through Oregon to get to the playoff? You go ahead. Grab your shovel. Tell me you're the real man. You're going to work harder. Folks, it's 2021. All this tech, it's all created to make our lives easier. Our iPhone, it makes our life easier. I don't need a Rolodex. I don't need an alarm clock. I got a phone. Pac-12, USC, Lincoln Riley, it's not the gauntlet the SEC is. It's an easier route. I'm not saying Oregon's not good. I'm not saying congrats on Chip Kelly having a great year. Utah's solid. But Lincoln Riley is too good of a coach to play second fiddle or third fiddle or fourth fiddle behind a Saban or a Kirby Smart. This kid is the future for the next 5 or 6 years of college football. So this is a home run move. It is a quick reboot.
I don't know if it'll be a quick reboot. I do think it's the absolute best hire you possibly could have made. The best one. And I'll challenge, and anybody who wants to challenge me, I feel free. But do I think that it's a quick? No. Do I think that he can flip a bunch of recruits? Yeah. Do I think he'll recruit well in California? Yes. Do I think they can get in the portal and fix some things temporarily? Sure. But it's going to have to change in the trenches. Going to have to, and that took time at Oklahoma. This was supposed to be the first year where they had the depth of defensive linemen they thought to compete with the SEC schools in the playoffs. It's going to take time at USC because that's hard to find on the West Coast. But I do think that it's a great hire, and it's the ultimate FU move. And to Oklahoma, who thinks we're just as good as the SCs and the Texases and Notre Dame's of this world, no, you're not. And it's not necessarily your fault, except it is your fault you went to the SEC. What does the Fox say? I think USC was a better job when it was in the Big 12. The USC's not the only mess. There's a mess in the NFL I want to talk about. It's next on the Doug Gottlieb Show.